You're listening to The Botcast, featuring Nigel Botterill. The Botcast is an Entrepreneur Circle production for club members and above.
Well, welcome to the September Botcast, where we're doing a live, it's an outside broadcast this month. We are in the offices, in the bunker, the engine room, at the National Support Centre. It is the end of a day. It's a Monday. It's a sunny Monday. And 92 happy members have just left the National Support Centre, along with one rather less than happy member who has gone away unhappy that his salad had some chicken in. And that my guest for today's podcast was, on occasions, not even funny. He's been running the fantastic TEEP course that he's done for us a couple of times already this year. And so I've grabbed him on his way out of the building. And he's very kindly agreed to come under the podcast with me today. So let's have a little round of applause and some cheer for Jess Rowe! Yay! You're good at cheering.
Myself.
You're good at cheering.
I've got used to it.
Well, welcome.
It's lovely to be here.
You're a Botcast virgin.
I think I've been on one before.
You have.
But I didn't get to record it with you.
No,
I don't think.
Really, it was a... Well, this is...
Like a soundbite.
For me, this is a special day today, Jess.
Come on. He's crying, listeners.
it's a very special day. And we've got another Botcast virgin with us today.
No.
And she's a little bit more nervous and a little less used than you and I are, Jess, at doing this sort of thing. But when we were setting up the Botcast here, she got very, very excited. She's been a key member of our member success team now for quite a long time. Must be nearly a year now. And she got very excited in the Botcast and she said, "Are you doing it out here?" I said, "Yeah, why?" She said, I want to be in it. So it's great to have you in the podcast, Karen.
Thank you. It's my claim to fame.
Well,
is it? Okay. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Never mind.
I think it is important that you strive to aim higher. But we'll involve you today because we've got a packed agenda.
We got
phones going off.
Yeah, I know.
Phones are
we're doing a phone-in, live phone-in. If that's you, hold off.
Thank you, Lucy. The whole team are rallying here to ensure that the sound quality on the podcast is maintained at its optimum level. So, Jess, author of Have a Crap Day and Purple Bananas and things about purple bananas.
And another one, but I can't tell you about that yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, February it comes out.
Goodness me.
I know. Prolific author.
Well, that's three
you can call me Jilly Cooper if you want.
Or JK.
Yeah. or not.
Whatever happened to Jilly Cooper?
I don't know. I've never read her books. Is she still cracking?
Do you have any idea who Jilly Cooper is?
I don't know who Jilly Cooper is. I know JK.
Okay.
Probably 50 Shades of Grey's taken over Jilly now, isn't it? Riding crops are old hat. But it depends what you do with them now.
In her time, she was...
Oh, yeah.
She was the
racy.
Author. Yeah, have a look. Ask your mum, Karen, okay? Ask your mum about Jilly Cooper's books.
Might have a little family conversation.
So, it could be interesting. What did you learn at work today? So let's talk a little bit about you, Jez, and in particular some of the very interesting little projects that you've got going on at the moment and the businesses that you're working with.
Okay.
Because you are a very, very busy boy, are you not?
I am super busy, but I love it. And I work with people from, you know, huge brand names from, you know, Philips and Vodafone and 3663 and sort of businesses that you'd recognise all the way through to, and that's the side that people, yes, all the way through to the other end of the spectrum to, you know, village bakers or small and medium sized businesses. And I was saying to the guys today that actually that's the bit I really enjoy most because you can affect greater change and for longer in the smaller businesses because it can be done quicker, right? As you will recognise as well.
So the tell us some stuff that you've seen implemented that we might be able to share on the podcast. So what have people done with your stuff?
I like it when they take the customer service values thing. So like they normally, I am a big advocate of customer service being the forgotten marketing pillar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, forget about all this AdWords pish, you know, Joanne, whatever, you know, it's old news. You know, this direct mail campaign, whatever.
Google,
you know.
Google.
Yeah, yeah. Got it. but But seriously, you know, if you're not focused on developing long-term relationships with your existing customers mm-hmm. and to get them to love you and get them to buy from you again and again and again, then you're shooting yourself in the foot, aren't you? And I think genuinely it is a distraction that entrepreneurs can have. They're focused on the top end, you know, of generating people, and they neglect a little bit the need to keep their customers.
It is. It was a topic actually that came up at Inside Track last week.
Mm.
And it is noisy around here, isn't it?
Yeah.
There is a lot of
terrible
noise.
Terrible. I don't know whose idea this was.
There's so
Karen.
There are so many members.
I should have thought all these people doing work.
But I didn't say that last week. There was a member brought up that said he was getting very frustrated with the challenge of having to keep on bringing in new customers and look after the existing ones.
Sure.
And was it possible to just do one or the other? And I don't think it is, because whilst it would be a lovely thought in theory to think, well, actually, I've got all the customers I need now, I just look after them,
then
actually everything will be okay. But because it won't, because no matter how well you do, you will lose some.
Yeah.
Some will disappear.
Yeah.
Some will, you know, or they'll die.
Yep.
We had a death last week.
Oh, did you?
A little bit sad.
A customer death?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, we do lose members occasionally.
Sure.
And it's careless.
Older?
Older than me, yes.
Okay. Oh, quite old then.
Yes.
I had somebody die in my seminar in January.
Actually, in the seminar.
Actually, in the seminar.
That never happened.
And do you know what's tragic is that they didn't know for half an hour.
Who didn't know?
The conference. I'm serious. Seriously, I stunned everybody.
So
people listening, driving to work, listening to the podcast, going, "What?" Yeah, seriously.
So you're in a seminar.
Yeah, 3,000 people.
Yes.
And the funny thing is, I was looking straight at him because I thought he was sleeping. And I thought, oh well, because some people close their eyes. And I've learnt now that actually they close their eyes to listen and concentrate, because I thought they were rude.
Is that what they tell
you? Or die. Yes, so actually there's another thing now. I'm really alert to it. Whenever I see people close their eyes for longer than a blink, I think, oh, it's okay. They've opened
them. You were like the last voice he heard.
Yeah, no. I know. I feel like I need to apologise to the family. I sent them a lovely card.
Need to take a sincere pill.
Yeah. I did send a card to the family, and we sent them flowers to the funeral and stuff. And actually, it was a bit disturbing, but it did resonate. I was talking to the guys today that actually, and you talked about this recently, and I'm so pleased you did, because it's that white elephant in the room that everybody's driving to get more stuff done, and they're sort of judging where they are by someone else's chapter 25. Mm-hmm. They do a lot of that, and they forget that actually your family's really important. Yeah. We're only here for a finite amount of time. No one knows how long we've got. And that's a real consideration, you know. Sometimes we can, as human beings, we can get a bit carried away with the desperation to want to do more and get stuff.
Do you get carried away with that? You're very driven, aren't you?
I'm hugely driven, but I have to say, I think I'm brilliant in the last 8 to... We'll just leave it there, shall I? I think I'm brilliant. Next question. I think I'm brilliant in the last 8 months of being able to say, no, I finish at 6, and I manage my time so much better. And I'm so anal when it comes to that 90 minutes. Like, I'm so strict about what is in mm-hmm. that 90 minutes and how I use it. And that's the success of how we've grown so rapidly.
The thing, it never, it still surprises me now, although I am much more used to it, the number of members that think that I just talk about 90 minutes and don't actually do it.
Really?
And because it is absolutely an integral part of just my daily life.
Mm.
And I know it is for... There is a common characteristic amongst all our successful members in EC, and that's it, because people like yourself and many, many others who are as obsessive as I am about finding that time and that window. And again, it came up at Inside Track last week. One of the questions we had in the growth session was, how can I get more stuff done?
Yeah.
And my starting point is, well, let's start with the 90 minutes, shall we? And I know that's not what you want to hear, because it's not a new answer, but it is the answer.
And sometimes it's the simplest things that get the most done.
Yeah.
I read in an article recently that years ago, when television first came out in the sort of 50s in the States,
mm-hmm.
all the radio guys were saying, it's a fad, don't worry about it. You know, how are hardworking Americans actually going to have any time to watch television? You know, with they can do the women can do their ironing while they're listening to radio, and the gents can brush their shoes and do their work in the factories. And then they said, don't worry about it. Fast forward to 2012, I think the stat was taken from, and on average an American watches 5 hours of television a day. Now, there's no more hours in the day, but they found 5 hours to do it.
Somewhere.
And so when people say, I haven't got any time, I think, well, I know that we have got time, right? So have to find it if you want it.
What's your favorite telly program?
I don't really watch television, genuinely, sincerely. I love Gardener's World, because Monty Don has the same tailor as my trousers.
Is that right?
Yes, in fact, I'm wearing those very trousers
right
now.
You're wearing Monty Don's trousers
yes,
on the podcast.
I like to think he wears mine.
That's another first. Karen, what do you when you you have a lot of contact with our members, you know, when they're calling up here in member services, and the 90-minute piece. What would you say to people around the significance and importance of that from your experiences talking to so many business owners?
Yeah, I do use yourself as an example, and we know that you have the sign on the door saying, unless the building's on fire, please do not disturb. So I do, always mention that.
Is that a gag, Karen?
No,
it's not. Could you come into my office?
Nope, I wouldn't even dare. I've heard the story of when somebody did try to come in the office.
Yeah, someone actually died in my office.
Yeah. That's why we had to move. That red's not easy to get out of.
His eyes weren't shut.
Yeah. But yeah, a lot of people that we speak to, sometimes they think it's too long. So what we tend to do is tell them to start with half an hour.
That's good.
And then within a few months, they're finding half an hour is not enough time. So they increase the time slowly. And they have said, everyone says they get a lot of stuff done in that 90 minutes, but only if they do it properly without any disturbances.
It's like any habit,
We've started it in the office as well.
Mm-hmm.
In our team, we use it because we're too busy doing day-to-day tasks. And sometimes the important stuff doesn't get done, so now we've used the 90 minutes to make sure it does get done.
That's good.
And it's working really well.
Sure. It's like any habit, isn't it? It's like losing weight or stopping smoking or anything. You start small, and then as you get used to it, you just titrate until you've got more in the amount of time you need to be doing.
You were eating chocolate earlier.
I was. Ginger. Dark chocolate, ginger. That's green and blacks. Other brands are available.
Very sophisticated choice of chocolate.
Well, I don't really eat sugar, so it's... I was doing this, and I was a little bit intimidated that I was going to meet MB himself. And I thought, uh-oh.
So you brought green and blacks.
And then I put another bit in when I knew we were doing it out and the rules were going out the window and I wasn't, so I had another bit.
You're coping okay. You're coping all right.
I'm all right. Yeah. All right. Sweating underneath.
So, Karen, how would you describe what Jez is wearing today?
If any of the members know me, they'll be laughing at this point because they'll kind of have double-guessed.
Any members that don't know, you'll think that's a very strange question. But
it looks like a pigeon.
We're going to try.
Start from the feet up.
Let's start from the feet up. So
he has... Some nice brown...
Oxfords, I think you'll find.
Shoes.
You just, Karen, for the benefit of the tape, Karen just stroked Jez's foot.
Only the right one.
He's wearing a pair of World War One shoes.
You love your World War One references when it comes to me.
And then he's in a pair of kind of RAF... Oh, he's got all
green
the stripes.
Green and blue stripy socks.
I see, yeah. So odd socks.
Yeah, always.
And then a pair of kind of dark
Monty Dons.
Navy kind of Monty Don trousers with braces. They're kind of, we've moved on, we're into the 1920s there, and then there's actually quite a modern looking waistcoat, actually. It's very nice, that waistcoat.
Thank you.
It's a light grey check with a little blue fleck running through it. And a crisp white
Harris tweed.
Crisp white shirt, and then...
it's blue.
And a very nice...
should have left Karen doing it.
It is
blue, yeah. Very
is it
blue.
Did
you leave
in
it in the wash?
Yeah. don't
you have a shirt company?
then we get to his head, Karen.
Where the pigeon's just flown in
perched.
Perched.
Do you not feel we're going to need to take a photo of this? Because people are going to be saying, what is wearing a pigeon?
Yeah, we are going to have to put you on the cover of the podcast CD this month, where people will be able to see that it is a Diamante pigeon. Because there's glitter on that pigeon, and the pigeon has crashed into your cap. And you describe this cap, this is because you've just been promoted?
Promoted, yeah, to wing commander of the flying squad.
Ah, so it's a pigeon's wing that you have.
Yes.
On the cap.
Yeah. It's my radio cap.
Now, what is interesting about this, let's just talk this moment, because what you have done very well, Jez, is you have carved out this kind of, this persona, this personality. You make yourself memorable. And I think I know you well enough to understand that this isn't completely accidental, that you're quite thought through.
Sure.
About how, what you do to ensure that people do go away, and when people have met Jez Rose, they do kind of remember that. Remember, that's quite important in business.
In a good way.
Absolutely. apart from the guy that died, obviously, who never
wasn't my fault.
You ever again. But for the rest of people, they go away and they remember who Jez Rose is. But this is important because your business has had tremendous growth over the last three years.
Yeah.
And, there are a number of reasons why that's come about, but a factor there has been this kind of status that you've kind of anointed yourself with, and you've created this thing. I mean, you've gone out and Lord knows why, I'm only slightly dry, I didn't think of it. I think the cap's brilliant, but it's not just that, it's the style, it's the the moustache and everything else. And I don't think enough people give enough thought. Too many people just... don't think about what they're going to wear today when they're going to meet customers. I mean, it's, if you're on stage, it's a little bit easier to think about it.
Yeah,
although, again, lots of people don't. I mean, what was Steve Wozniak thinking
with
those trainers?
Sneakers.
Probably doesn't need to think, I guess, at that level. Perhaps that's the point. I did it with my shirts a little bit, but you've gone further away. And I'm just interested to talk about that for a moment or two, because I think it's an area that a lot of people could give some more thought to. Because you don't have to be on stage or kind of presenting to create an image that is memorable and useful to you.
No, and it also doesn't have to be extreme either. That's the point. You know, I think when we talk about that, I've taken extreme because it fits my character, personality. It's very natural to me. But if you're meeting somebody that, you know, you want to impress, and or it's an important meeting, for example, the piece of advice I always give is be the best dressed person in the room. Because that in itself will help solicit a kind of status, if you like, a self-induced status. And by default, you'll be remembered, if only because they were well-groomed and polite and whatever. But it does amaze me how many people are quite happy to speak in front of a group of people in jeans and a polo shirt or something. Now, that works. That's fine. And I've always said, if the plane lost my luggage or whatever, I could stand and give the presentation equally in a pair of Speedos, right? And there's an image just for Sian Nesbitt. Canary, yellow, eagle smugglers. But it doesn't have to be that, does it? Zipped out of a trance there, yeah. But it isn't about being extreme. It is about just taking a little bit of thought of the things that resonate with your audience and that will intentionally make people remember you. But you're right, it doesn't have to be a crazy pigeon on your head or whatever.
But some
thoughts. I just think it's a bit of thought. People don't, do they? You're right.
No, I think it's a miss, and it is a big miss.
Sure.
Because we need all of us need all the advantages we can get.
Sure.
And it plays beyond just
dress. It's about effort. It's like today I was talking to these guys in the service seminar about how the things that resonate best with people are when you do things that are unexpected. So when you pull the rug out from under their feet, and that's how you achieve that sort of level of extraordinary, is when you do things that people didn't expect. And it doesn't have to be kooky or crazy. That's kind of the line I take, because it suits my medicated, not highly though, personality. But it could just be that you just take a little bit of thought into what you're going to wear, because other people don't, and therefore, of course, it becomes that little bit unexpected.
Yeah. So, third book, you said.
Yeah, I can't. Don't ask. Can't say.
Okay. So
you know how it is.
So what's next? What's it about then?
It's a guide to human behaviour that's never been written before.
Okay.
Why do we do the things we do, and how we can change them?
Interesting.
Yeah. Now, and there's another one too called Chip In Chaps, all about leadership.
Okay. I like that.
And today, right, you heard it here first on the podcast, talk about backing someone into a corner. I had a brilliant idea. Wouldn't it be fun, Nige, if we did a book, right, that was a funny book based on the funniest responses you've ever got from feedback questionnaires? Wouldn't that be funny? Because I've got loads of them as well. It'd be really funny, wouldn't it?
We've probably got a binder full.
A binder full of them, yeah. There's a book in everything.
We have, it is, if only I'd known when I started out on life just how much the salad was important to people.
Sure.
They come all this way. We have people don't come on our courses, you know, from places like Sheffield because it's too far to come.
Sure.
And then we have people flying in from Norway and Belgium and Colorado. Scott was with us from Colorado last week.
Wow.
He flew in for a course. He said,
it's not really that far though, is it? Colorado, Birmingham.
he's a proper kind of
American.
He's a cowboy, yeah, he was real.
Serious?
A real American.
Oh, I'd have gotten well with him. He'd have had a hat.
He would have had a hat. And he wouldn't have had the salad either.
No.
That's the thing.
But there's an interesting thing in that, isn't there? And actually a lesson for all of us, in that things are so subjective.
Yeah.
And I was talking to the guys again today when we were talking specifically about service, is that, you know, what you think is right can almost be irrelevant. You know, it's what the customer thinks is right, and what one customer thinks is right is going to be wildly different to another, and you just kind of have to swallow that pill and get on with it, unfortunately.
You can't, you certainly can't please all the people all the time, that is for sure. We've had a small claims court paper issued against us.
Amazing.
From a guy who is claiming his money back on last year's convention tickets.
That is incredible, isn't it?
He's waited nine months to do so.
Brilliant. One person.
So,
but in itself, that just goes to show that there will always be extremes.
That's right.
And if you please the vast majority, you just have to let the others go. It's what you say about sacking customers, isn't it? So I guess that would you agree that kind of attributes to that?
Oh yeah, I'm not going to let him come again.
Yeah. Is that why you cancelled it?
The bastard. Well, there are rumours afoot of a 2016 convention.
I heard that. Did you? Said ridiculous. I've been squashing them as quickly as I can, Nigel, but, you know, I can't.
Okay. Well,
do you think there might be... What do you think, Nigel? Do you reckon there might be a 2016 convention?
Let's ask.
What's your thought?
Let's ask Karen. Karen, what do you think?
I think there should be one if there isn't.
I want these rumours to come true.
Is that a sentence? I don't know what she just
said. There isn't already, I should have said.
Okay, let's...
I think we should make these rumours come true.
I need people... let's have a look around the place. James, could you come across...
We're going to have a poll.
Yeah, Davina.
Have we got any polls? Davina. Claudia's Polish, isn't she?
And could you just come and join us? Ange, could you please come...
Hello! How is Davina?
We got some more people on the
podcast. Do we need to be in?
On the podcast, yeah.
Come.
How are
you?
It's been a while.
Hi, members.
Jez Rose is now... Jez Rose is snogging my staff.
Sorry.
James Farmer thinks he's a 1970s Radio 1 DJ.
Hi, members.
Say, hi, members.
Yeah.
Yes, indeedy, James, you did.
James is doing
it. I'll just go now.
So, we're just discussing whether there should be a 2016 National Entrepreneurs Convention. And we're interested in what you... Davina's put her hands in the air. Like, it's just a
double hand. It's a double hand.
Are you allowed to do that?
What does that mean?
It means 1,000,000,000% yes. For
you,
me.
You think there should be?
Yes.
1,000,000,000%
yes.
What's one arm? 500,000,000%.
One arm is about 110%, but two arms is the 4 billion.
Okay.
I'm in.
So, okay, James, what are your thoughts on this big convention?
I'm with Davina. I'm 1,000,000,001. I think I'll knock one up there.
So you think we should definitely do it?
Yeah.
Competitive already.
And bring it just before you commit. I want you to think carefully about this, because this has been recorded. You've just broken the chair that you're sat on whilst we're recording this. And it's going to go down in the annals of history and your response to this question. So it's important that you do your best to get it right. Okay? So, Ange, upstanding member of this parish, stalwart of the EC, should there be a 2016 National Entrepreneurs Convention?
Why wouldn't there be one?
Ooh, a question.
Question with a question.
What do you do with that? Who does it get referred to?
Why? What's the answer to that? I'm a little bit disappointed with that answer.
Oh,
why?
No, but it's like I'm saying, well, why wouldn't there be? It's not like a... Maybe it's a rhetorical question.
Okay. Anna, Stuart Bevans will know. Stuart Bevans will know. He's going to just come in.
Actual
come
Stuart
and,
Bevans.
Yeah, there he is. That's the actual.
Look at that. You're as tall as Stuart now.
I know.
That's because James on his knees. Stuart, come in. We're doing the podcast here today with Wing Commander, Jez.
Very
Rose.
Fine feather.
Thank you.
And
you.
We're just discussing as to whether or not, Stu, there should be a National Entrepreneurs Convention next year. And wondering what you think. Where would you stand on this?
I think it was an integral part of last year, and the convention is a really good thing to do.
But last year's in the past.
Yeah, well, it'll be bigger and better, won't it?
You think so?
Yeah.
You
absolutely.
Think there should be one? I am coming under a lot of pressure here. I feel sure that my good friend Jess Inkersman, who has just wandered past, who is now playing with Davina's hair. If I did that, I would be accused of it.
Yeah, I know.
Honestly.
We have a special relationship, don't we, darling?
We do.
So, Jess.
Yes.
In your considered, esteemed opinion, should there be an Entrepreneur Circle, National Entrepreneur Circle Convention in 2016?
There should.
100%.
Really? Yeah.
Oh. Is it worth saying at this point, Nigel, that all these yeses are coming from staff that are up at 5 o'clock in the morning and going to bed at 3 o'clock the next morning working on that convention and are still saying, yes, please?
Yeah. What is that all about?
I've changed my mind. So no.
What do you put in the water here? This is
so. Okay, well, there are no decisions yet. It is still.
Doesn't sound like it's very likely to me.
Still got a rumour. But I'm coming under increasing pressure. Watch this space. Thanks for joining us. Thanks, Stu. Stu's gone. Oh, everyone's gone now.
If you'd like us to stay, we'll stay.
So, Karen, come back in, Karen. Karen is a special guest on the podcast today. And let's talk about some of the learns that you've had, Karen, from our members. In recent weeks. So some of the people that you've been talking to, some of the successes that they're having, the things that you're seeing getting implemented that are making a big difference. Share some of them with us.
So I know that, well, for me recently, I've had quite a few queries around referral campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of members are saying, because with the round tables, I know that Stuart has done a lot of meetings on the round on referrals, and I've had quite a few queries from people who are stuck with ideas of maybe what they can offer. They're stuck with how to actually get the campaign going if they've got something that they want to offer. So that led me to do extra training with Stuart on referrals. So I'm learning that to do more one-to-ones with people.
You know, one of the biggest mistakes we went with referral programs, and you'll relate to this, Jess, but people kind of forget that they're people. And as business owners, we get to know, and we get into this thing, oh, what can I, and we think we've got to offer people something and somehow bribe them or incentivize. And it's just not true. If you've done a great job and you've looked after your customers really well and you ask them in the right way, my experience has been that lots of them will be very, very happy to refer you to other businesses and introduce you to people and talk favorably about you. And actually, the minute you start to kind of try and commercialize that relationship and offer them something, if they think they're doing it for some monetary reward or some incentive, it actually has the absolute opposite effect to what the business owner wanted it to do. And so often the key to certainly getting a referral program started is actually just like ask, just encourage, just let people know that you're very welcome. You do like receiving referrals, and if there was anyone that you felt you could introduce to us, we would be ever so grateful. Now, it doesn't mean that when they do send you someone or something, you couldn't do something nice for them. That would be an okay thing to do. But don't tell them what that is.
No, don't bribe them. Bless you. My word. For a second there, I thought you were going to go as well. I thought, crack, it's two in a year. The caveat there, though, is that you've got to maintain that relationship with them. It's not like in 6 months' time you could go, oh, can you refer me? Because there's some interesting research that was done, early 90s, that shows that there's a 13% uplift in people referring willingly, and so recommending you to others, if you have a sustained contact with them and or sustained relationship. So if there was, you know, if they'd bought from you 6 months later, you think, oh, I'm going to do a referral program, they're probably not the ones you want to start with.
And that's because it's all about relationships.
That's what it comes back to, doesn't it? Building your relationships with your existing customers, and that obviously leads to new customers and building relationships with them.
It's so important.
And it goes down.
It's really hard to get new customers. So why you wouldn't, you know, protect the existing ones you've got? I have no idea. And you know, it makes me put funny hats on the head in disgust.
What, talking about purple bananas?
Yeah.
Because not everyone will have read the book.
No, Be a Purple Banana. Yeah. It's available from Amazon, but only for a short period of time. It's going out of print very soon.
Is it really?
Yeah, absolutely.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Oh my.
So you want to get your first edition copy in now. Buy your first edition copy. And actually, if you buy Be a Purple Banana, one of the suggested recommended titles that others have bought is How to Build Your Business in 90 Minutes by a hair bottle. Yeah. No, serious.
And a very smart clever man called Martin Gladys.
Yes, absolutely.
I think we were riding high at number 281 on the chart this
weekend.
Are you? Yeah, we were. I'm interested in the purple banana bit. Let's just talk a bit about some of the main. Given that you won't talk about your new book.
Yeah, can't. We share an editor.
Sorry, what did you say?
I said can't. Okay. I can't share it. Okay. Be a Purple Banana, it was the results of 3.5 years worth of research to find out whether there was a difference between ordinary people and extraordinary people. And of course, that in itself, both of those things are subjective. So that interested me because I'm a bit geeky when it comes to stuff like that and behavioural stuff. Karen's smiling like that, like you knew I was a geek.
I did.
It's funny how quick you can go off some people, Karen.
So
be quiet, I'm talking. So my point... My point being that what I found at the end of this 3.5 years was absolutely, you don't have to be born extraordinary. You can learn to be extraordinary. I interviewed tons of people that have done extraordinary things, from Sir Ranulph Fiennes, who's like a big hero of mine, because he's like 73 or something, and he's just run across the hottest desert. He did the Marathon de Sables. It was like 92 degrees C or something like that.
Warm.
I mean, it was ridiculous. It was like, crazy.
Have you read his book on Scott?
Yes, the early one. Yes, I have.
I thought it was one of the best.
Yeah, phenomenal. And I interviewed him recently for my podcast, and which isn't out yet, but maybe we'll do it again to plug that. I don't know. And I've got something else to peddle. I don't amazing man to talk to. But Be a Purple Banana is about doing things different, not to go against the grain, but to think, well, it's okay if you want to live an ordinary life. And that's cool. But you will never achieve anything extraordinary or do anything that you feel yourself has been anything other than just ordinary. So it's about taking a step out of your comfort zones, thinking differently, approaching things differently. And what I came up with was a sort of set of principles that I'd based on an average of what these extraordinary people had done, and they spoke to him about how they'd achieved these different things, all the way from like Oprah Winfrey, amazing story. Mm-hmm. Ranulph is another one, I'm trying to think of them off the top of my head. But point being, there was a kernel of ideas, a series of principles that you could apply to your life to help you become more extraordinary.
Which is, and I mean the principles are the same that Napoleon Hill applied.
Sure. I just copied them.
In Think and Grow Rich. Sure. Well, he's dead.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
He would have paid no attention to
you. Whatsoever. You know, I collect old books. I have a first edition copy of that.
Of Think and Grow Rich. Mm. Do you really?
Yeah, it's one of my pride possessions.
That's
if you're
impressive.
Really nice to me, I've already in the back of my head thought I might gift that to Nigel one day.
When I see it, I can have it.
You can touch it. Yeah, with gloves. You can sniff it.
I mean, Think and Grow Rich, for those of you listening to the podcast for the first time, is by quite some margin the most kind of formative book in my life, really. And in many ways, it had the impact that you've just been talking about there, Jez. Because you must read this well. I think we all of us, whatever our situation is, I think as human beings, we tend to think of ourselves as normal.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly did.
When I
was a kid and I couldn't see, because mm-hmm. I was pretty blind.
Sure.
But I just thought everyone was pretty blind.
Yeah.
Certainly when I went to the cricket
match. What the world looked like.
Yeah, well, that's it. Sure. All a bit fuzzy. And
yeah.
I'll be honest.
Yeah.
A lot of people look a lot better.
Yeah.
When they're all kind of blurred around the edges. But you just think it's normal. And at the time, I was a young kid in Leeds, you know, and I was at school with, we had Peter Charlton and Donna Bremner were two kids in my class at school, because the son and daughter of Jack Charlton and Billy Bremner.
Wow.
And this is at a time when Leeds were winning everything, or well, quite a lot of
things.
They were
children when you were at school.
They were the same age, yeah. So,
right.
So like when Leeds won the FA Cup, it's a long time ago,
yeah.
1972. So into assembly on the Wednesday morning comes Jack Charlton and Billy Bremner with the FA Cup. And like,
wow.
That's just normal.
Yeah,
when you're six, you just think it's kind of normal. And it's only later you get a perspective.
Yeah.
And you realise actually it wasn't normal at all.
Yeah.
And actually you can see properly and therefore get better eyesight. And similarly, because you've done this, because your business and your life now is quite different to what it was, I don't know, go back 4 years, five years ago.
Sure.
It's very different. And you're very grounded, but you have changed. There are plenty of people who would describe you now as a version of extraordinary. Yeah? Extraordinary light.
Sure.
I mean, I don't want to get too
semi-extraordinary.
Oh my goodness! The wing is taking off the hat. but what I mean is, as you move and evolve, as you go through life and things evolve and change, but you still think it's normal. But there's always somewhere else to go. That's the point I'm getting to.
Sure.
Which is why Ranulph finds, having done all this stuff, has nothing to prove to anybody.
Yes.
What is it about it that makes him want to go and do what to any sane person is a little bit ridiculous?
Yeah, sure.
Well,
also.
It's because I believe, and I've not met him and spoken like you have, but I think he'll think he's normal.
Yes. Oh, yeah, he does.
And that's the point. Don't strive to be extraordinary, because you'll never ever be it.
No.
Because you'll always think you're normal.
Yes, exactly that.
Does that make sense?
But challenge your normal, I think, is the point, right?
Because you can, but you can shape it, can't you?
Yes, of course.
And change it, and whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And you know, we've all got things at times, and you find you pause and look at things that we do in our lives. I know I certainly have that. I have a fantastic life.
Sure.
Oh my goodness. But it's just like normal.
Yeah, for
and,
you.
And that's what it is for anybody, whoever it is and where they are. But you can create your normal.
Yes.
And if you want your normal to be a little bit unusual or extraordinary,
sure.
Then that's cool.
Sure.
That's doable.
Yeah.
Even if you wear a hat.
But even if it's even about perspective though as well, isn't it? Because it's really important to stay grounded, like you said, and challenge your extraordinary. I like the idea of creating your extraordinary rather than creating your ordinary. I think it leaves the bar pretty low and doesn't leave you very much place to play with, so try and create extraordinary. But you're right, it's not about being extraordinary. It's not about trying to chase that. It's about questioning why you do things. Because not enough people ask questions. They just accept things, and they live their life every single day they're long. If somebody will say something, they'll go, oh, all right, then. And then they'll end up with an opinion about something they know nothing about. So anyway, it's part of that. But I did want to talk today, like my number one thing to talk about was perspective. because we're not very good at keeping perspective. Like, we freak out when something goes wrong, or you've spoken about this before, actually. It just occurred to me. If you send an email that's not meant to go out and you freak out, it's like the world's going to end. My baseline for everything is, did anyone die? That's like my number one everything. So
and
if
most
you,
days, the answer to that's no.
Most days, yeah, until recently. For 12 years, I've kept that as my steady thing. Oh, poor Mr. Irwin. But if they do, then obviously that's very bad, and that's fine. But that is the worst that could happen, couldn't it? But we're not very good at that. We drop our favourite mug and we go into this ridiculous tears, and we're in a mood for the rest of the week or the day, and we let that affect our behaviour and the consequences of our behaviour. And we're not very good at just taking stock and thinking, you know what is important here? What's relevant here? And that, of course, as entrepreneurs, that mentality affects our business, doesn't it? You know, it affects what you, you know, the perspective you put on life.
So how do you manage that? Because it's an easy thing to talk about.
Oh, I don't know.
And everyone kind of gets it. But that's quite a difficult thing.
Sure, of course
actually,
it is.
Because, I mean, I guess it goes back to the kind of whole Eleanor Roosevelt thing about, you know, it's
sure.
It's not what happens to you, it's your response to it.
Yes.
Which is why I'm able to talk perfectly lucidly without any sense of amusement whatsoever, despite your
attempts.
Profane attempts to make me kind of lose the plot.
I'm going to take my trousers off in a minute.
And even that is unlikely, I'll be honest. Oh my God, he is doing.
If you hear a thud, you'll know it's happening. But how do we stop it? How do we become a little bit, adjust our perspective? Is that what the question?
Yes.
Do we should be clear? Well, I guess the point is that it starts with mindset, doesn't it? Starts with understanding that you have to understand. It starts with understanding that you have to understand. It starts with taking a moment to understand that the mindset you have directs your behaviour. So if you think that something's, you know, super, super important, or for example, you get wound up when somebody leaves a dirty spoon on the side, I'm using kind of commercial, sensible examples, or you break a favourite glass or mug or something, it's widening the gap between your conscious action. Your conscious response and your actions. So it's widening that gap. So most people respond immediately. Mm-hmm. So there's a response and an action goes all in one together. So you drop your favourite mug and straight away, oh no, I've dropped my favourite mug, it's the end of the world, yada, yada, yada. But there is a gap there in everybody. And it's a case of just taking a pause before you act.
And stretching the gap from a hundredth of a second to a second.
Yeah. Exactly that. Seconds. Incremental, yeah. So something happens, and instead of responding immediately, you just take a moment to take a breath and say, all right, let me just put this in check and in context. So someone's...
This is what your mother used to say when you count to 10.
How do you know that?
That's what came to my mind.
Count to 10. Did you want that as well?
Yeah.
Did she?
But it is that widening the gap. There's an amazing quote. Here, hang on a minute. I'm going to find it. Wait there. I'm going to get in my bag. No, I'm going to leave them off because it's hot in here. There is an amazing quote that I have to show you. Where the flips are, I think. Here, real quick, because this will make the podcast. Here it is. I wrote it down. And it's by my most favourite author. Have you read the book, my most favourite book, which is going to come to me in a second because I can't do two things at once.
It's interesting. I'll kill off here for a moment. Just what's actually gone into his bag. He's got his iPhone out of his wallet. It's a 1923 wallet. Looks like an old book with an iPhone in it, which is quite remarkable, really. And he's found what he's now found. What he's
I'm ready.
For. He's looking at
the book is.
Go, Jess. 3, 2, 1, and you're live on air.
The book is Man's Search for Meaning. Have you read that?
Do you know,
Viktor Frankl.
Yes, I have read that book.
Isn't it incredible? I think everybody should read it.
It's a very deep book.
So here is the quote, right? Between stimulus and response, there is a space, which is what we were just talking about. Mm-hmm. I said it in different words. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. And that, I think you'll find, is the best thing you've heard in this entire hour.
No, don't put it away. I want to go through that again, because that is really deep. And we're gonna build to a climax on the podcast now with this. So give it to me again. So between stimulus and response, in other words, something happens and we respond to it.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Sometimes we respond instantly,
like
really quickly.
So you drop your mug
and
there's a response.
But there is a space, even if it's only a tiny little
Everybody
space.
Everybody has that.
Okay, in that space is our power as individuals
to
choose how we respond.
Yep.
Because we do get a choice.
Sure.
And
we don't
do
understand that, but we do.
In different ways, yeah. And in our response lies our growth and our freedom. Because if we can get the right response to things that happen to us, we actually can become better as individuals, as human beings, and actually help to move towards that creation of our own extraordinariness.
Yes, absolutely.
My goodness.
I couldn't have put it better myself.
It took a long time for us to get there. But I think the cap is now back on the front of the head. The wing commander is back in command of his wing. Karen is still with us.
Delirious.
Was that how was that for you?
I really enjoyed it. It was.
How was that for you, Karen?
It was interesting watching the cap go around. I think I've been concentrating on that.
She's a quivering wreck, listeners. She's a quivering wreck.
We must make sure we get a little photograph of our esteemed guest on the podcast today to put it on the CD cover. I think we'll do a special edition. We will put the Wing Commander Rose on the front cover. Jez, it's always fun, always a little bit unusual and unpredictable. And I'm grateful to you. Thank you for running an amazing team today. I'm sorry that someone gave you 1 out of 10.
My mother would have given me 10 out of 10. That's all that matters to me.
And in fairness, the rest of the room did. Yes. But you can't please all the people all the time. And this has been a great little broadcast. I've enjoyed it, Hughie. Thank you very much indeed. And we're looking forward to the new book. And what is it, Cheeky Chappies?
Chip in Chaps. But that one comes out later.
Okay.
The new one in February is going to be incredible.
Is it?
You'll love that.
And has it got a title?
Secret.
Secret.
Question. Big question mark over everything.
Big question mark. Jesse's new book.
Yeah.
Big question mark over everything.
Yeah. I might call it It's Me or Gloria Honeyford.
Okay.
There's another story in there. Invite me back.
We had Gabby Roslin.
Oh, she's lovely.
In today. Filming
Why?
With us. It's a long story.
Oh, okay.
I'd have to shoot you.
All right.
And then there'd be another death.
Fair
which
enough.
Would be a shame. Because this has been...
It's a bit of a heavy episode,
so
this,
far,
isn't it?
It's been very light and
yes.
and healthy.
Yeah.
We're back next month with the October podcast. October!
Woo.
Autumn is coming. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Bye!
Bye.
You're listening to The Botcast, featuring Nigel Botterill. The Botcast is an Entrepreneur's Circle production for club members and above.